This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you again. Join with us at the same time each week. And again, we always count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. As we continue now with our subject here on John the Baptist. What a man. What a man of God. With what power did he have? And the many souls that he won to Christ. Christ had told him, you are the man. You're in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And God foreknew that John would fulfill that. And therefore chose John, which means by the grace of God. Paul said the same thing in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And God used him greatly. And he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And you know what? That's all any of us are. And I thank God that he'll even use us. And as weak vessels as we are, and yet there's one thing we can do. We can always stand on what God says. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto the Lord, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to know the word of God, to study it, to learn it, to know it, to memorize it, and then be able to use it and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power, it is the dynamite of the word of God, and unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek or the Gentiles. So the power is in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, over there, for the Word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Powerful. Oh my, the Word of God is powerful. Let me just demonstrate to you how powerful it really is. You get around a group and start talking about the Bible and watch them spread. It'll be like somebody scattered them to the four corners of the earth. Oh, I got to go. Well, now we don't talk about religion or politics. Well, you know, they sort of chuckle. Well, the reason is you're dumb about both of them. You don't know anything about either one, or you'd want to talk about them, you know. But it's an amazing thing. Start talking about the Bible and watch how fast and how small the crowd gets, you know, when you're out in public or that. Or if you mention Jesus Christ anywhere, if you're in an office or anything, you talk to somebody, and boy, watch the heads turn, like you've almost said a swear word or something, you know. But let's get back to John the Baptist now, because it's very, very interesting. We're going to begin over here to Matthew chapter 3 and begin to pick up where John begins his ministry now. Let's follow him along and begin to see what kind of character that this man had. Now, he gets the job done. In fact, I'd like to bring this to your attention. Did you ever hear the story of everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody? Wonder if any of you have ever heard that. Well, once upon a time, there were four men. Now, you got to keep this in your mind now. Four men, but they four had a name. And the four were named Everybody as the name of one of them. Somebody was number two, anybody was number three, and nobody was number four. Now, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. But everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Now, somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Now, everybody thought that anybody could do it, and nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody and nobody did the job that anybody could have done in the first place. At last report, these four men were still arguing about the job they were supposed to do, and it still wasn't done. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I thought you'd enjoy that. So John the Baptist wasn't anybody. He wasn't somebody and nobody and anybody. John the Baptist got the job done. We're over here in Matthew chapter 3. And let's pick up the record about John the Baptist. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when he says repent, repent here is not like you look it up in our English and it says, oh, I'm sorry for what I have done. That is not what it means in the Greek. The Greek word is metanoio, and it means change your mind. Change your mind. I've talked to people say I'm of a specific religion, you know, and I'll tell you what, I was born this and I'll die this. Yes, you was born that because mommy and daddy taught you, and maybe mommy and daddy were wrong. And you will die that, but you couldn't change their mind. They won't even listen to the truth. There's nothing you can do with a brainwashed person like that. Well, I was raised that way. I talked to one man in this area. It's been a couple of years ago. I stopped at his house and talked, and his wife had died. And anyway, he said that she was of certain religion. Well, that certain religion will not take you to heaven. And it just won't do it. They do not believe the Bible. They talk about the Bible. But anyway, the amazing thing to me was, he said, and we were talking there, I give him a tract and told him that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. You must accept him as your Savior because he's the only one ever on this earth, born on this earth with a body, that was sinless, that could go to the cross and pay for the sins of the world. And he didn't want anything to do with that because he had promised his wife, she made him promise before he died, or before she died, that he would never leave her religion. Well, her religion will take you right straight to hell. And but he's locked into that. He said, I made her a promise, and I'll keep it till I die. Well, you've just cut your jugular vein, sir. It's sad, but these are the kind of things and the kind of tricks that Satan uses so that you'll make a promise. It reminds us of the old king, there with John the Baptist. And he said, for the people's sake and for the oath's sake that he had taken, that he will go ahead and kill John the Baptist. For this man's oath, if he doesn't change his mind, then the promise he made to his wife will take him right straight to hell. And that's sad. There's only one way to heaven. And this is the way John the Baptist preached. Change your mind. And he's speaking to the nation of Israel now. Any Jew. And that's who he was sent to, the Jewish people. Christ came unto his own, but his own received him not. John the Baptist was the forerunner of that. So repent means change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was the kingdom of heaven at hand? Or it actually should read in the original, the kingdom from the heavens is at hand. Why was the kingdom of heaven at hand? The kingdom of heaven, and you only find that phraseology in the book of Matthew 38 times. It's not found in Mark, Luke, or John. And we find out the kingdom of heaven is a phase of the kingdom of God. We find out that the kingdom of heaven always refers to the earthly reign of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon the earth. So he says the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Well, why would that be? And the reason was, it's at hand because King Jesus is at hand and would like to set the kingdom up if his people, the nation of Israel, will receive him as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So John the Baptist was to warn the nation of Israel, here is your Messiah, right here. Here he is. So change your mind about any idea that you've had and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior because the kingdom is at hand, because the King is at hand. Now, notice in verse 3, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, do you remember, the word Lord here is Kyrios, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you'll notice, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says, prepare ye the way of God. Remember, we brought this out in our previous broadcast? So, prepare ye the way of God, now prepare you the way of the Lord, which is Christ. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Any religion that denies that Christ is God in human flesh is a cult religion that'll take you right to hell. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Make his path straight. And the same came, the same John, had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. don't know where he got his strength from, but I'll tell you what. If I got to get mine from wild locusts, I don't think I'm going to have much strength. Now, honey, I love. But, in fact, you can get a lot of strength from honey and vinegar. In fact, an old-time remedy, and I like to do this today. In fact, I do it all the time. But I remember my mom used to tell me, said, if you want to really have something to clean your blood veins out and so on and so forth, and I think I'm getting off the Bible here just a second, but anyway, I'll be back in a minute. I'm taking a little trip out around first, second, third base. I'll be back to home plate and start with John here in just a second. But she used to say, if you take a tablespoon of vinegar and 2 tablespoons of honey in the morning in an 8-ounce glass of hot water, it will really stimulate your blood and clean your kidneys out and so forth like that. It's a very good remedy they used to use back and the pioneers used to use. So anyway, pretty good advice. But we do that. Doesn't taste bad at all. But I can take the honey, but I don't know if I could go this wild locust or not. But anyway, John did it. And they went out to him. Then went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan. Boy, they got the message out, didn't they? I mean, it must have traveled like hotcakes. They didn't have radio at that time, didn't have television at that time, didn't have satellite at that time. But word of mouth really went, because, boy, they were coming out and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. What sins were they confessing? The sins, and let me name a few. The sins, first of all, that they had offered the sacrifice on the sin offering and the trespass offering under the old Levitical system. So they knew they had sins just like you and I. We know when we sin. If we say we have no sin, 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've had people come in, it's amazing, in the book of James it tells us here, if you know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Reminds me one time a lady came to me and she said, I was back sort of in the hippie era, and she said, now, my boy has his hair down here. How long do you think my boy's hair should be? Like I was a barber instead of a preacher, you know. My eye, how long a hair should be. But I happened to think, and I think the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I said, ma'am, let me ask you something. Turn him around. Turn him around. And if the boys whistle at him from back, then I think his hair is too long. Now I give her the verse there in 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doeth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? A man is supposed to look like a man on all four sides. But anyway, he went out. Jerusalem went out to him. Judea went out to him. All the regions round about. So it really traveled. John's got a message. The Messiah is here. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Their sins consisted of? It may be some sin of thought. It could be a sin of hating someone. It could be the sin of with the tongue, as James chapter 3 talks about. It could have been any number of sins. Could it be the sin of wondering, the Messiah, I don't believe the Messiah is even going to come. Could it be the sin of unbelief? Because it had been some 500 years, they hadn't heard from a prophet. And here comes John, the last of the prophets. And he's preaching, Jesus Christ is here. Boy, you can hear him beller it out, you know. So they came confessing their sins. Probably one of those was unbelief. We never thought, it's been so many hundred years, and we didn't think the scriptures would be fulfilled of the Old Testament. Let me ask you something. You're going through some troubled times or something, and you wonder, has your faith become weak? Have you wondered if God's going to work it out? Do you think there's too many pieces shattered that God cannot put back together? That's the sin of unbelief. Instead of praying and knowing that God's going to answer your prayer, if it be according to His will, then you don't want to fall into the sin of unbelief. He said, you have not because you ask not. Have you asked the Lord? Is it for the Lord's glory? The Lord wants to help you, whatever situation you're in, whatever trial you're going through, whatever trouble you're facing, no matter what it is. There isn't anything too hard for the Lord, is what he called told Zacharias. Nothing too hard for the Lord. And he is a master at putting back together what we have shattered because of our unbelief and our unfaithfulness as a Christian to serve him. The Lord wants us to serve him. John the Baptist was just that man. So they were confessing their sins, mainly of unbelief. What other sins were there didn't make any difference. they believe now, this is the Messiah, this is Jesus Christ. But when he saw, now, there happened to come another group, as there are always those tailing along. Notice in verse 7, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, these were your hypocrites, these would be your seminary teachers today. The Sadducees never even believed in a resurrection. The Pharisees, they were supposed to be your learned men. They were supposed to be your Bible scholars. They were supposed to be the ones that would expound the scriptures to you. You know, I remember years and years ago, a lady came up and said, you know, I go to the Roman Catholic Church and they don't really want us to read our Bible. So we can't understand it. Only the priests can understand the Bible. Really? Then why did he say, study to show thyself approved unto God? That's brainwashing. God wants you to read it for yourself, and the Holy Spirit will help you interpret it. Will help you put the pieces of it together so that you understand. You got to have the Holy Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But notice, when John noticed these Pharisees and these Sadducees come to the baptism and watch these others get baptized and confess Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And he said unto them, now, this would be very unethical in your liberal churches today. It would not be tolerated. If John was behind the pulpit, and he's seen a bunch of you liberals come in, he was in that liberal pulpit, and he's seen a bunch of, he would have let them have it. He said, oh, generation of vipers, you're like a poisonous snake with your ugly fangs ready to hook into anybody you possibly can with your damnable philosophy. You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why did you come? Why are you even out here? You know what? I've never seen it fail. You lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, and immediately you'll find out that there's a false cult will latch on and say, oh, now there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just believing, friend. Oh, yeah? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is no more to it than that. But there'll always be somebody there standing in the shadows to latch a hold. Now, they haven't witnessed before, but now they become the Bible expert. After you've led them to Christ and showed them that they can know that they have eternal life, then they sort of slip out behind the corner and latch on to them, just like here. And just like John described these Pharisees and Sadducees, you viper. You didn't have enough backbone to witness for yourself. You wait till somebody trusts Christ, and then you're going to run down that church, and you're going to run down that pastor, and, oh, they don't believe like we do. And unless you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you may not be saved. Now, the same people that say that didn't witness to this person at all, didn't lead them to Christ, but they're going to try to get them all fouled up with their false doctrine after you lead them to Christ, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Notice what John said. You generation of vipers. Man, they would have run him out of your liberal churches today. You can't use that language in our church. After all, you've got to be civilized. You change your rhetoric. Vipers? You calling people vipers? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, you'll find out Christ did the same thing. Did you generation of vipers? He called him exactly what they were. Now he says to them, because they were hypocrites. He knew these people. He knew these Pharisees. He knew these priests. And when I say the priests, this was Annas and Caiaphas and the priests that were over these ones here. He knew that he had men in the temple that were stealing from the people and making it a den of thieves. That's why Christ went in there twice and run out those bunch of priests and his hirelings under there that used the temple for their own goods, their own profit. They were vipers. And bring forth therefore fruits fit for repentance. Now, if you're going to change your mind, let me see you change and get away from what you're doing. You guys are just as guilty in there of doing these horrible things. Now, let's see some fruits. Let's see, if you've changed your mind about Christ, then let me see that you've changed your mind about being crooked. Now let me see that. How long do you think John the Baptist would last in your church? Say, woo! I don't know. May not last too long. Either that or we'll try to bribe the preacher to tone it down a little bit. I've had that happen to me a few times. Preacher! Hold it down! Don't say anything! Our church will grow faster if we hold it down, you know. I'm sure you heard about the two evil brothers. Sort of fits in what we're saying, trying to bribe the preacher. Well, there were two evil brothers, and they were rich. They used their money to keep their ways from the public knowing about it. And they even attended the same church, and to everybody else, they looked to be absolutely perfect Christians. Then their pastor retired, and a new one was hired. Not only could the new pastor see right through the brother's deception, but he also spoke well and true, and he didn't sidestep anything, and the church started to really grow in numbers. So they had a fundraising campaign that they had started to build a new assembly. And then all of a sudden, one of the brothers died. The remaining brother sought out the new pastor one day before the funeral and handed him a check for the total amount that was needed to finish paying for the new building. But he said, Pastor, I've only got one condition, he said. Well, the pastor said, what's that? He said, at my brother's funeral, you must say that my brother was a saint. The pastor thought. The pastor said, all right, I give you my word. He took the check and deposited it. Next day at the funeral, the pastor did not hold back one thing. He said, this man that died was an evil man. He said he cheated on his wife and he abused his family. And after going on this vein for a short period of time, and he finally concluded and he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. I thought that was sort of cute. Well, you know, you can't bribe the preacher, should not be able to. Some churches can, some pastors fall for it. Hold her down, brother, and you can keep your parsonage. Hold her down, brother, and we'll keep you at this church. But we don't want you offending Brother James now, because you know old Brother James here, he's been in this church for 25 years, and he gives a substantial amount of his money to support this church. We don't want Brother James offended. So the pastor tones it down as he finds out what the sins are of Brother James. We dare not mention that in the church. But old John the Baptist said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits met for. If you have changed your mind and accepted Jesus Christ, and the other people out there ought to be able to judge you, if you're going to talk the talk, let's see you walk the walk. Don't talk about Jesus Christ. I'll say this about the liberal churches around here. They don't walk the walk, but they never talk the talk. So those two go hand in hand. You can't get them to talk about Christ. Talk about Christ and they'll run. You're a cult church. You mention Jesus Christ, you're a cult church. Of course, they go to one. Set in the bars. But John the Baptist said, you generation of vipers, let me see you walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. So if you're going to change your mind about Jesus Christ, then when I baptize you and you get baptized, it's to walk a new life. It is, I want to see you do what you proclaim in Jesus Christ. Well, that's what every Christian should do. Boy, did he ever lay it on the line to them, didn't he? And then he goes on in verse 9, it's sort of interesting, and think not to say within yourselves. Now, John the Baptist, being a Jew, he knew exactly how these Jews thought. He knew their mind inside and out. He talked to many Jews. He knew exactly how they thought. And he said, and think not to say within yourselves, because he knew what they were reasoning within themselves. We have Abraham as our father. In fact, St. Martin Luther is our guide. The Pope is our father. Who else are we going to pick out here? How about Mary Baker Eddy? She's the woman who has written all of these things here. What about Joseph Smith? He's our daddy of our faith. Surely is. Or we'll pick the Anabaptist. There are daddies in the faith. So forth. Here the Jews said, we have Abraham to our father. And then notice John the Baptist, what he said to him. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up. What do you mean? Your hearts are so filled full of religion, they are as hard as stones. You ever talk to somebody that belonged to a denomination, and I was born this, I'll die this. You could not reach them with truth for anything. They've been brainwashed with lies. Their parents have let them in. I've been amazed many times. I say, how did you happen to come to go to this church? Either one or two things. I was raised in this church. My mother and daddy went to this church. Or I had to change my religion in order to marry this woman. Or this man. I changed my religion for him. Or I changed my religion for her. I want to tell you something. If you are accepting Jesus Christ or have accepted Jesus Christ and you're a young person and you're not married, you should not even think about marrying someone who is not saved or who has not trusted Christ as their Savior. Oh, they go to church. I'll tell you what, after you get married, you watch them. You do never sacrifice truth for marriage under any circumstances. Or I'll tell you one thing, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law, and that's the devil. You're going to have some problems as time goes on. You can mark it down. You don't sacrifice. But he said, you can be saved. He said, God is able of these stones, your old stony heart, to raise up children unto Abraham. Abraham was saved because he believed. If you go to Genesis chapter 15, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If you go to Galatians, was Abraham or Romans, was Abraham our father saved by works? No. He was saved by faith, you see. So they have to have faith, change their mind about Jesus Christ. He is the Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Messiah. And therefore, then, change your actions and quit associating yourself with these priests in the temple that are absolutely stealing from the people. Quit association with these other Pharisees here that are lying to the people. So let's see you do something with what you say. So if you're going to talk, let's start to walk. Now, we'll go on with verse 10 and see the judgment here that John the Baptist preaches. He's quite a preacher, wasn't he? We'd love to have him in our church today. But your liberal churches would run him out and put a noose around his neck and call him a cult. That's amazing, isn't it? I'll tell you what, we're so screwed up in our thinking today anymore. The right things are called wrong, the wrong things are called right. But I know one thing that's right, and that is that God loved me. And he sent Jesus Christ into this world to die on that cross to pay for my sin. And he told me that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. And I thank God that he loved a sinner like me. And I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. It's not because I'm any better than you, any worse than you, or anything else. I'm just a sinner. And so are you. And God loves sinners, or he wouldn't have died for us, would he? And God wants to save you. So if you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ, accept him as your Savior, you will be passed from death unto life. You will never perish, but have everlasting life. But we'll continue on with John the Baptist next week. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, as we keep looking up and ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus.